Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So glad to see each of you here. Although it's nice and raining outside, we're good and dry in here, so glad that you're here and look forward to our Sunday worship together. If you notice here on the back, just a couple announcements I share with you as we begin our service. Membership classes has begun. We started this Sunday, but certainly if you still would like to participate, I think you could do that up till this coming Sunday, I believe. After that, you may fall a little bit behind. So if you'd like to go through the classes, you're certainly welcome to do that. Just be sure to be here next Sunday and talk to me as well after church so that I know. Also, if you'd like to have your membership moved here, that's something you can continue to do even for a couple more weeks. I can get a hold to the other minister or wherever you're moving your membership from. Or if you've been baptized already, we can also receive you by affirmation of faith. That's an option as well. Just if you have questions about that membership, just talk to me after the service. I'll be here. Be glad to talk with you more about that. Also, Bible study is continuing on. We're going to be looking at Mark 4, so we're moving on through the book of Mark. I hope that those that have been attending are enjoying it. I think they are. At least I am, so I guess that means something, but I'm the one teaching it, so I'm a little partial, I reckon. But we've had a good time. We've had some good conversations. I encourage you to come. I have a few books still available. They're on my office desk there. If you'd like to come, just see me, and I can make sure that you get one of those books. Not everybody's going to make it every Sunday. That's okay. I understand that. But if you can make it some of the time, and maybe do some of that work on your own as well at your home. It's a good opportunity for you to dig in and learn more about God's Word. We've been looking at some church history and trying to really apply the Scripture as we went through it and have had a good time. So take advantage of that if you would. Also, remember that this is our month of mission. Can you believe we're already in October? October 2nd today, and so we're already right into our month of mission. October, we try to collect goods for Valley Mission. We try to collect some things that they will need, monetary donations as well, to help with the cost of running a place like that, especially as it gets into these colder months. You know, people that kind of have been sleeping outside through the summer months, they're going to need a place to go, and the Valley Mission provides that for them. And for their family, if need be. So what a great thing. Janet, were you able to get a list? Okay, there is a list on the bulletin of things that Valley Mission has in the past requested or asked for, things that they might need. That's a start, you know. You can certainly think of other things that families would need when they come in. Sometimes just in the middle of the night, and they're just without anything. So see that list and, you know, start to pick things up. When you bring things in, just set them right up here where this fake tree is. Just put it right there beside that. It's kind of where we'll gather the items. And I hope we have a big old stack of stuff. I really do. They need it. These people depend on others helping them through this difficult time. And I hope that we can step up and meet their need in this time of mission. I know we're not gonna supply them the whole year, but every little bit helps, doesn't it? And these people need that help. So I hope that you take note of what's on that list and try to pick up some things as you're on your shopping adventures through this month. Oh, just note as well, on October 19th, Wednesday, if you look at the top there, we're going to have a woodcutting day at Randy Simmons' house starting at 9:30. If you're available, I know that's through the week, but some of you are available, and if you can help with that, we sure would be glad to get all the help that we can get for that. So if you have questions about that, you can talk to myself or Dan Kelly. I'll be glad to share with you more about that day. Just take note, there'll be some other wood cutting days too. We always try to start cutting wood in the fall to supply the ministerial association, the wood pile that we keep over at the close to the post office at Berlin Zerks. A lot of people pull from that, especially if it's a very cold or hard winter. And we know financial situations are difficult for people right now as well. So there may be a lot of need for this wood pile. And we just distribute that. There's no cost for people to come and take from that wood pile. It's just a work of the church to help those in need. And so keep your eye out for other woodcutting days. And I hope that we get good turnout from Moscow to help with that. We work together with area churches to accomplish that. And so it's a good thing for the community to do, the community churches. Is there any other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Lee? Okay. Ladies, if you're going on that trip, take note that the van leaves here at 5:30, so you need to be here at 5:15. And your driver's Kenny Wood, so good luck. No, I'm just picking Kenny. You'll do a good job. And you certainly won't have trouble finding your driver. If he's in a crowd and you're looking for your driver, just look for the guy with the pink beard. See, Kenny does that, though. Last month, he had a mission he was doing with this color, and this month he has a mission as well.
Last month, the Yellow for Childhood
Cancer
Awareness.
Okay.
This month, the Pink for Women's Stress Cancer Awareness.
Yep. So Kenny has a good heart. But, you know, Kenny, that will make it easy to find you in a crowd, you know.
Especially if I'm wearing my
shirtless hat. Yeah. Yeah, it will go good. We're praying that it's a good trip. I think the ladies are going to have a wonderful time there and really be uplifted. I'm so thankful some were able to do that. I hope if they ever do it again, I hope more will go, because it's really a opportunity to be uplifted. And to I've been to some men conferences, and you come out pumped up and ready to serve the Lord. It's a great thing. So I think they're going to have a good time. Thank you, Lee, for all the work that you've done on organizing that. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious day, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to come to serve and worship you. I pray, Lord, you just bless us in this time of worship together. And Lord, we just lift up your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together for this morning's call to worship. This is coming from portions of Psalms chapter 1. You'll find this in the inside of your bulletin. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He shall be like a tree planted by the river of water, that bring forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's turn your hymnal to page 505, "Love Lifted Me," page 505.
I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, buried deep, restrained within, seeking to rise no more. But the Master of the
Amazing how you can sing a hymn and it just brings back to your mind memories. For some reason, when I was singing that hymn, I could just picture myself again standing beside my grandmother singing that song, Love Lifted Me. Boy, hymns, they do a lot to us, don't they? They bring back memories, but they teach us as well. Love did lift us, right? The love of Christ has lifted us up. Even when we feel down, maybe we have a down week or a down day, when we get in that place, we just need to look to Jesus because He lifts us back up, doesn't He? He gives us hope. He gives us all the things we need to deal with a difficult life, a difficult world, a sinful world in which we live. Love lifts us up through the power of Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Grace Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for the love that we have received from You. Lord, it is love that truly lifts us up out of the mire in which we at times find ourselves. Lord, out of the sticky places of life. Lord, out of the difficult places of life, Lord. You pick us up. You lift us up through Your love and Your grace and Your mercy. Lord, we just thank You for the love that we have received in You. And Lord, as much as You have loved us, I pray today that You put within our heart that we are to love others even as You have loved us. Lord, that's Your command. That's Your desire. That even as You've loved us, Lord, we're to extend that same love to those around us. Help us to do that, I pray, as Your people, as Your church. In Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, I just want to take some time now to gather up any prayer requests or praises that we would like to share. Of course, just the ones I've had you to be praying for, I want you to continue to keep on your prayer list. Joyce Clatterball, continue to pray for Joyce. Joyce is slowly recovering. She's making progress, but it's just slow. And so if you would just continue to remember Joyce. Also, Vaden, if you would, continue to keep him in your prayers also as he tries to care for his wife. Also, Faye Hall, I want you to continue to lift up Faye Hall in your prayers. She keeps me posted and updated on her progress, and she says that her vision is slowly coming back. So every week I keep hearing that. So that means it's getting better and better for her. And I just praise the Lord for that. I know she does as well. She said to me just yesterday, would you please share with Moscow a big thank you for all the prayers and cards and phone calls that you have given to her and Kenneth, she really appreciates that. And she said, I want to make sure that my church family knows that. She even said, I thought about sneaking in at the end of the service or during the service because she's not supposed to be around a lot of people right now. And she said, I just so badly want to come to church, somehow just sneak in to sneak out. But she said, I understand. I have to just wait. And I said, that's right. When you get well enough and the doctors release you, you come back. But till then, we'll just be lifting her up in prayer and thanking her. So thank you to all those who have sent a card to Faye or have maybe made a phone call or have shared in some way. Really appreciate you reaching out to them in that way. Also, I got word that celebration today is happening, and it's an anniversary for Travis and Susan. So, happy anniversary to you. You didn't think I'd know that, did you?
Nope.
Well, I didn't know that till a little bird whispered in my ear and said that you guys having an anniversary today. How many years?
12.
12 years. Congratulations. So, and there's another celebration this week. Some birthday, right? Caroline has a birthday this week, so... Is it today or tomorrow?
It's tomorrow?
I thought so. My calendar says tomorrow, yeah.
Yeah, we got a bunch of birthdays.
Yeah. Yeah, that's something to take note of, too. If you look on the back of your bulletin, there's always a birthday list. Kevin Dean back there is having a birthday on Tuesday. No, Monday, is that right? Monday, yeah. Caroline, yours should say the 3rd, right? Yeah. Lee? 3rd on that one. I have it down as the 3rd. I'm not sure how. And if I have it down on the third, Lee, I got it from you. So at some point you had it the third. Yeah. I got Caroline and Kevin. Yeah, Jensen has a birthday this week.
Happy birthday.
Yep, happy birthday to everyone. So hope that, you know, that's a way, too, that when we put that birthdays on the back of the bulletin, you can send a birthday card. I'm sure that the people appreciate that as well. Happy birthday to everyone. Okay, other prayer requests or praises that you'd like to share at this time? Megan? Okay. 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 Megan, if you didn't hear that, Megan is just sharing that her brother Brent, the girls have been sick. Just lift up the girls, Della especially, and Brent, is he sick too, or?
He probably will be.
Yeah, that's the way it happens, isn't it? If he's not, he will be for sure. So, Megan, thank you for sharing that. Certainly lift up girls there. Other prayer requests or praises, Lee?
I got praise and concern.
Okay.
Last Saturday, we had a praise. My nephew was married. It was a beautiful wedding. But then he decided to go to Key West for his honeymoon.
Oh, no.
So he
yeah, definitely. I don't think they seen a whole lot, though, in Key West, did they? Yeah, me and the boys got online and found live cameras at Key West. We wanted to see the wind, and it was like people walking around on the street, and yeah, that didn't seem like it bothered them at all.
He said there was a lot of wind, but then after the wind died down, they said they were going to go out sightseeing. So
yeah.
I was like, what kind of sightseeing are they going to do?
Well, congratulations to them, and just glad that they had a good time and that they're safe. That's the main thing. Thank you, Lee, for sharing that. Yes, absolutely. And I think, though, you know, that keeps us mindful of what's happened in Florida, and it seemed from pictures I've seen, there's devastation in some areas there. So probably a lot of work's going to go into rebuilding, and some people have pretty much lost everything. Nothing really stands up against 150-mile-an-hour winds. And so just pray for those that are trying to put back the pieces of their homes and their life down there. Certainly just be in prayer for those in weeks to come as well. And we just thank God for groups like Samaritan's Purse. I know if there's things that you would like to do to help, I would encourage you, one in particular, Samaritan's Purse. That's Franklin Graham, the Billy Graham Ministry, BGEA, I think it is. You can find them online. Most everybody's online today, so they have ways of giving and supporting. It's a good group that you know the money's going to get to the right place and going to help people. Sometimes you worry a little bit about giving to some groups because they have so much overhead that the people don't get the help like they need. But Billy Graham Evangelical Association is a good one. And they are volunteers. There's nobody getting a huge salary out of it. So I encourage you to help in that way if you can. Give through Samaritan's Purse. The Covenant Brethren work closely with Samaritan's Purse. And so based on our vote last Sunday, we will be we'll be working with Samaritan's Purse going forward, doing a lot of disaster relief work. I know that the Covenant Brethren have already met with Samaritan's Purse and talked with about how the new denomination might be able to send volunteers and really work hand in hand with Samaritan's Purse. So it's going to be a good relationship there, and I look forward to learning more about it. We've done so much work in the past through Church of the Brethren disaster relief work. And I think there's still going to be opportunity for that, but there's also going to be opportunity elsewhere with the Billy Graham group. So I'll keep you posted on that. Anyone else? Kenny?
This past week, Sherry was blessed enough to slide in to see Gene.
Yeah.
And being Gene's not able to have a lot of company and everything, I just wanted to share that Gene is looking really She says, sorry, no license. I'm fine with me. But Sherry says she's looking really good, and so it's a blessing.
Yep.
I
was there last week, too, and I had the same feeling. You know, she seems like she's doing a lot better since she's off of that medicine that made her so sick. And she said she's getting some of her hair back, and I think that's the blessing to her. And she's starting to feel like herself again, which is a real blessing. So Jean will be listening to this service, and Jean, we continue to keep you in our prayers, and just so thankful that she's starting to feel a little bit better now. Thank you, Kenny. Anyone else? Our special to music today is Jean, and she's going to, she recorded some music for me, and I'm going to, as I call the ushers to come forward, I'm going to, if it works, I'm going to share a song called Give Thanks from Jean Armstrong. And the ushers can come forward now and collect the tithes and our offerings. Stand together in prayer. Bow your heads with me. Gracious, most heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning with our humble hearts, Lord, seeking to bring our offering and our tithes, our blessings, Lord, and lay them before your feet. Lord, we just pray that as we continue to give of our time and our talents and our treasures to you, Lord, that, Father, you are blessed by these things, that, Lord, you see our heart's devotion, that our hearts are full, Lord, and that we seek to honor you with all that we have, Lord. Lord, that we just pray that these offerings this morning would do that. And Lord, that you would receive that into your kingdom. And Lord, that this would be a beautiful thing before you. Lord, that you see our hearts as well as we seek to please and serve you, Lord. with our time and our talents and our treasures. Lord, we pray for those upon our prayer request list. Lord, we continue to offer up those requests to you. Lord, see and seek your hand of healing, Lord, your touch upon each one of them. Lord, just pray that, Father, those that are in need, Lord, as they come to you, that you will be sufficient in meeting their need, Lord, even as you have met our need. Lord, we thank you that you can do all things. And Lord, there is nothing beyond your ability. Lord, we just pray that those that are needing your hand upon them at this time, that they will seek you. And Lord, that they will turn their hearts to you. Lord, that they will put their full faith and confidence in you. And Lord, that you will hear their prayer. Hear our prayer, Lord, and answer that. Lord, pray you continue to be with us this Sunday, Lord, through the worship service, and continue to speak to our hearts, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for each person here. Open our hearts, I pray, to receive your word during this time. And it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things together. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, our children's group can be dismissed. Well, it's just special, isn't it, to hear Jean play for special music. I'm so thankful she recorded those songs and we're able to continue to include her as part of our service. And it just feels like she was right there playing. And so we're just thankful for that. I was glad she did that for us. Okay, I want you to turn in your Bible to 1 Samuel. We're continuing on with the story of David. I hope you've enjoyed looking at the life of David. We started out with the prophet Samuel, didn't we? And then we kind of moved on to the King Saul and all of his failures. And then we're looking now at King David. Well, he's not quite king yet, though, is he? He has been anointed king, but he hasn't yet taken the throne because Saul continues to reign over Israel. So we're picking back up this week at 1 Samuel chapter 24. And sermon title is Love Thine Enemy, as we'll see how this kind of applies today. We're going to pick back up, and we're kind of picking back up in the story where David is on the run from wicked Saul. Remember last week we were looking at how David was running from Saul and he stopped at the temple to get the showbread that the priest gave him. And so we're kind of picking back up again with David as he's running from Saul, and Saul, of course, seeks to kill him. Now, David has done nothing wrong. I hope that you understand that David is not at fault. In fact, David is quite innocent. He is a faithful servant of Saul. And yet Saul is jealous of David. He looks at David like a threat to the throne. And yet, so rather than following God's will, that was kind of Saul's problem all along, wasn't it? He couldn't follow the will of God. He didn't want to follow what God has to say. And so, again, we see a rebellious Saul who's jealous and he's angered against little innocent David, and he's seeking to kill him and hunt him down, really. He's got a group of men put together, and he's out hunting for David so that they might put him to death. And David, though, he's innocent. I remember Ahimelech last week, the priest, when he was accused by Saul of conspiring with David. Remember what he said? He said, "Who among your servants is as faithful as David? Who is the king's son-in-law, the captain of your bodyguard, and is honored in your house?" So, you know, David had represented himself quite well. Even the people there living in Israel could see how well and faithful a servant David was. He was a true man of God. Listen, you can tell a lot about someone by how they treat their friends. You think that's a true statement? You can tell a lot about someone by how they treat their friends. But listen, you can tell a whole lot more about someone by how they treat their enemies. Isn't that an interesting thought? How they treat their enemies. You know, sometimes we get in our minds that just because someone mistreats us, someone that treats us badly, that it gives us then some liberty or freedom, some validation to treat them badly in return. And is that what the Bible tells us? No, the Bible says the exact opposite of that, that how we should treat our enemies. Matthew 5, 43 through 45. You have heard, Jesus said, that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But Jesus says, I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. Boy, that's totally opposite than what sometimes we think in our mind. Somebody treats me badly. Somebody says something rude, or somebody does something wrong to me. Even somebody who persecutes me. That means they're literally trying to hurt me. You know, they're not just responding with bad words or saying something I don't like. No, they are. They have it out for me. They are trying to persecute me. What does the Bible say? What does Jesus say? How am I to respond? Does that give me liberty to exchange evil for evil? If they're mean to me, I'm going to be evil to them. If they're angry to me, I'm going to show anger back. Kind of a back and forth. But that's not what it says. Bible says, Jesus says that we're to exchange love for evil, aren't we? Yeah, if you just keep up an evil for evil, there's no end to the cycle, is it? But love kind of ends the cycle. Somebody's being angry towards you, somebody's being rude or mean towards you. You know, when you respond in love, that kind of ends that. You know, hopefully it does. Hopefully it does. How many of you have enemies in your life? How many of you have enemies that maybe you have refused to forgive, even as Jesus commanded here? Well, let me tell you, if we are expecting God to forgive us of our sins, then the Bible clearly says God is expecting us to forgive others. Jesus said, if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will my Father forgive you your trespasses. Listen, God wants us to be forgiving people. And David this morning is going to show us how we are to love our enemies and even show us the right way to handle those who hate us. Now for David here, his enemy was Saul. And of course he had been on the run from Saul. So let's pick up here in the story, chapter 24, David spares Saul. Now it says it happened when Saul had returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went to seek David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs. And David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, this is the day of which the Lord said to you, behold, I will deliver your enemies into your hands, that you may do to him as it seems good to you. And David arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that as David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. And so David restrained his servants with these words and did not allow them to rise against Saul. And Saul got up from the cave and went on his way. David also arose afterwards and went out of the cave and called out to Saul, saying, my Lord, the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed down. And David said to Saul, why do you listen to the words of men who say, indeed David seeks your harm? Verse 10, look this day, your eyes have seen that the Lord delivered you today into my hand in the cave, and someone urged me to kill you. But my eyes spared you, and I said, I will not stretch out my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yes, see the corner of your robe in my hand. For in that I cut off the corner of your robe and did not kill you. No, and see that there is neither evil nor rebellion in my hand. And I have not sinned against you, nor yet you hunt my life to take it. Let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you. But my hand shall not be against you. As the proverb of the ancient says, wickedness proceeds from the wicked, but my hand shall not be against you. After whom has the king of Israel come out? Whom do you pursue? A dead dog? A flea? Therefore, let the Lord be judge, and judge between you and me, and see, and plead my case, and deliver me out of your hands. So it was when David had finished speaking these words to Saul that Saul said, is this your voice, my son David? And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. Then he said to David, you are more righteous than I. For you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt well with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hands, you did not kill me. For if a man finds his enemy, will he let him get away safely? Therefore, may the Lord reward you with good for what you have done to me this day. And now I know indeed that you surely or shall surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in your hand. Verse 21. Therefore swear now to me by the Lord that you will not cut off my descendants after me, and that you will not destroy my name from my father's house. So David swore to Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men went up to the stronghold. Interesting here, we see these 3,000 men kind of chasing David, don't we? What a remarkable story. We see these 3,000 men after David, and David taking his 600 guys, and they're hiding in the cave. Must have been a pretty big cave to hide 600 people up in it. But here he's hiding David from this, from King Saul. And of course, don't you know that God delivered into his hands that very day his enemy, Saul. But the results of what happens after there is quite surprising, isn't it? David doesn't kill Saul, of course. He doesn't take his opportunity, but he recognizes that King Saul is the Lord's anointed. You know, King David was a great warrior, but even he had to recognize that this had to have been something of God for out of all the places where Saul could have went to, that he stepped into the same cave where David was hiding. Of course, the men recognized that. I even noticed, too, that the men kind of share a saying here. They said to him, this is the day which the Lord said to you. So notice that even at some point, he had told the guys that God had said to him, I will deliver your enemy into your hand. And so There's a lot going on here, but yet David recognizes that it's not his place to kill King Saul. But this opportunity here arises, really, to get this close to a king. You know, he would have had his royal guard around him. But this opportunity puts Saul right in a place of vulnerability. He didn't have his cloak. He didn't have his sword to even defend himself. He didn't even have his trousers, probably. He was there very vulnerable. And David could have easily killed King Saul. But of course, he cut off just a corner of his robe. Now, we want to apply this to our lesson today of how we're to love our enemies, because that's kind of what we're looking at here. And lesson number one, I'm going to give you, let's see, 5 lessons in total. Lesson number one, resist the temptation to repay evil with evil. Number one, resist the temptation to repay evil with evil. You know, what a temptation this must have been for King David to see his enemy right there, so vulnerable. He could have killed him easily with no resistance at all. He was caught off guard. That was the temptation, to repay evil with evil. Now, isn't that oftentimes our same temptation? That when somebody says or does something bad to us, what is the fleshly temptation? We want to respond back in the same manner that they have spoken or acted to us or done to us. We want to respond with evil to evil, don't we? If they're going to share evil with us, we're going to give them evil right back. And sometimes we don't just give back equal evil. We step it up a little bit, don't we? You hurt me, I'm going to try to hurt you twice as hard. I'll come up with something evil and vile or say something that isn't even true. And boy, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble like that, don't we? Responding evil with evil. Number one, to love our enemies, we have to resist the temptation of that. We have to get a rein on our tongue. We can't just let our tongue control us, can we? The Bible talks about the tongue being like a little spark that can strike and ignite a great fire. Just a small little spark can put a whole forest at blaze, can't it? And that's sometimes how our tongue gets us in trouble. We let our little tongue go and we don't control it and it says things that hurt others. And we respond evil with evil. We do that, don't we? We might do it in our own home, husband and wife, or with our children. We might do it in the workplace. We have to control and resist the temptation to be tit for tat with people. You know, at times we're going to get our feelings hurt, aren't we? At times somebody's going to say something bad to us. We have to have the resilience and strength within us, the Christian foundation, that we're not going to respond back in an evil way. We have to restrain ourselves. That's the Holy Spirit, gift of the Holy Spirit, self-control. I know some Christians that need a whole lot of self-control. We should have self-control to restrain ourselves and not respond tit for tat with people when they are evil or bitter towards us. Will a sinful, bitter attitude of the heart lead to loving the other person? Absolutely not. Some might say, well, Pastor, it sure does make me feel better when I do that. I feel a whole lot better. Well, I tell you, it might make you feel better at the moment, but in the long run, it's going to make you feel a whole lot worse. You know, people that hold grudges or even long-term grudges, you know, some grudges are generational. Some grudges can last generations. You say, well, why don't we like that certain family, such and such? What did they ever do to us? I don't know. Apparently somewhere along the line, they must have did something because grandma didn't like them and great-grandma didn't like them and I don't like them either. I don't know why I don't like them, but I just don't. It's a generational grudge. You know, a grudge really doesn't hurt the other person. It just hurts yourself. It's an unnecessary burden that we're not to wear. Jesus said, I didn't come to make your burden heavy. I come to make it light. And one of the ways he lightens our burdens is that we're to love all people. We're not to hold grudges against each other. But yet we see it, friends. I guarantee you, you can go in any church right here in the Shenandoah Valley, well, probably the United States, and you can ask if there's people that are holding grudges against other people in the church. You know what they'll say? Yes, there are. Every church. I talk to pastors. I know what's going on. I know my own church too. Grudges should not exist in the church. It's not because I'm saying it, friends. That's what Jesus is saying. If we care about what Christ says, then we are to put our grudges to rest. It's time to bury the old axe. We've ground it too much. It's time to put it away. You know what grudges lead to? Do you know what this type of attitude leads to? It leads to dysfunction. And I see families that are dysfunctional. They can't hardly get together because somebody's got a grudge against somebody else. It leads to dysfunction in the church too. The same dysfunction you find in your family, it comes right into the church doors and you find dysfunction. The Lord doesn't want us to be dysfunctional. We need to function well. There's a world that's dying and going to hell. And we need to function the best we can to make sure we are doing the work of Christ here at the church. Amen?
Amen.
It's time to put our grudges away. David did not respond evil with evil. Notice there. But he recognized that this was the Lord's anointed and that it was not his place to respond to Saul and treat him in the same way that Saul had been treating him. Really, if Saul would have swung the sword, think how easy that would have been for a man like David. He could have chopped his head off in one swipe. And you think, well, that'd be the end of it, right? Would it be the end of it, though? That resentment between the house of Saul and the house of David would go on, wouldn't it? Think of how that would continue, that generational evil. You think Jonathan, Saul's son, would have took it too well if David cut off? Now, remember Jonathan, that's Saul's son. Do you think Jonathan would have took it too well if he got the news, oh yeah, your best friend David just cut your dad's head off? That's probably not going to sit well. You think that would lead to then contention between Jonathan and David? More than likely. And the problem goes on and on and on and on. Sometimes we get in our minds, if we could just whop the head of our enemy off with our words, with our anger, with our bitterness, with our unwillingness to talk to him, maybe unwillingness to say hello, maybe our just being unpoliteful to him, that's whopping off the head of the enemy somehow. And the truth is, it doesn't solve anything. It just continues to create problem and problem and problem, and the evil doesn't end. The enemy is not destroyed, and it just continues the process of evil for evil. Listen, the Christian goal is not to destroy those who hurt us, but to love them back into right standing with Christ. That's what it means by loving your enemies. Your goal, Christian, when somebody treats you awful and sinful, is not to get even or destroy them. It's to love them back into a right standing with God. You ever process it like that? Those that hurt me worse, those that have hurt me the most, those that have been the most sinful to me, towards me, are the ones that I need to love because I'm trying to love them back in a right standing with Christ. I want to get them back in the fold. And the only way I do that is through treating them with love. Grudge is no thing to carry, friends. And it doesn't hurt anyone but ourselves. And it doesn't end the process. First step of loving those who don't love us is to resist the urge to hurt those who have hurt you. Okay, number two. Respond with what your heart knows is right. Look at verses 5 and 6 there in our scripture. Now it happened afterward, after he cut this piece of robe off from Saul, notice here that his heart troubled him. He didn't cut his head off, but he just cut a piece of his robe off. And notice here that David's heart troubled him. Verse 6, and he said to the men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master. For the Lord anointed to stretch out my hand against him, seeing that he is the anointed of the Lord. Respond, number two, with what your heart knows is right. You know, the desire there was to kill, probably to kill Saul, but he kind of opts for just cutting off a piece of his robe. But even that was a sin against the king, notice. Even that was an act of rebellion against King Saul. It was an act of evil against Saul. Now you think that was not a very harmful thing. You know, he just cut a piece of his robe off. But still, it was something sinful against Saul, wasn't it? I think David realized at that moment that he had opted for the lesser evils, but it was still evil. You see that? Sometimes we compromise in our minds too. Well, we won't do this thing, but we'll do that. We won't respond in that way because, boy, that'd be bad, but I could do a little of this. It still maybe be within the guidelines of not being so evil. Well, he opted for the lesser evil, but his heart spoke to him. Listen, that's how Christ speaks to us, isn't it? You ever done something or said something bad, and then you get this real heavy feeling up on your heart? Oh, why did I do that? Why did I say that? Why did I act that way? Listen, that's the Spirit of God speaking to your heart, calling you back to knowing what, to doing what is right. Well, that's what happened to David here. The Spirit of God living within David spoke to his heart, and his heart was cut, and his heart was grieved because he had done this evil to King Saul, who was, as he noted here, is the Lord's anointed. Respond with what you know is right, and that works towards certainly loving our enemies. Okay, number three. Right the wrong with continued attempts at reconciliation. Right the wrong with your continued attempt at reconciliation. Look at verses 8 there. Afterward, he went out of the cave and he called out to Saul saying, "My Lord and King." Boy, that's interesting phrasing, isn't it? Here he's calling Saul his Lord and King. And then notice there, he stooped with his face down to the earth. This is David's attempt at reconciliation. He doesn't want the grudge to keep going. He wants it to end. And how does he do it? He shows it by humbling himself. He bows down to the king. He calls him his Lord. Notice if you look a little bit farther, he even calls him his father, acknowledging this place that he has. Verse 11 there. Look at verse 11. Moreover, my father, see. He's seeking to reconcile this situation between him and Saul, even though he's done nothing wrong. He has nothing. You ever been in a situation like that? You've done nothing wrong, and you say to yourself, why is it up to me to try to fix the problem? I haven't done anything. Is that what David did here? David's not done anything, but yet he seeks to reconcile the situation with Saul, and he's willing to forgive Saul of all that he has done against him. Tried to kill him. Saul's trying to kill him. And yet, David is willing to forgive Saul of his sin. He's seeking to reconcile. For if God can forgive and love him, he wants to extend that love unto Saul as well. All right, number four, he relinquished then his judgment against others. Relinquish your judgment against others, for only God is judge. Relinquish your judgment. Look there at verse 12. Notice here that he says, let the Lord judge between you and me, and let the Lord avenge me on you, but my hand shall not be against you. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in the place of being the judge, the juror, and sometimes even the executioner, don't we? We take judgment, we make judgment, and we pass judgment, and we even execute judgment on others. You ever made a judgment about someone and then you realized the judgment you made was wrong? Maybe you thought something about a situation, or you were trying to read into something or figure out a person why they did a certain thing, and then you realize afterwards, well, you know, I totally misjudged that. And maybe I treated the person unkindly, or I acted unchristian-like to them because I made a bad judgment. You know, we have to be careful not to judge too quickly, don't we? We have to be careful. I think sometimes it's better to step back and let just the Lord be the judge. It's not to say that we don't discern what's right and wrong. I'm not saying that. We just have to be careful that we're not the judge, juror, and executioner of others around us, because you know what? We don't necessarily know all of a situation. And we don't know what a person's thinking or even what they're dealing with. And we just have to be careful not to be too judgmental of others. Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment that you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured unto you." What Jesus is saying is you are not the judge, the juror, or the executioner of those around you. And that's exactly what Paul or David didn't do here. He did not pass judgment on Saul. He knew that he was being evil and wicked to him, but it wasn't his place to kill Saul or to be the executioner of another. We have to be careful. We might be wrong when we pass judgment. We might pass judgment without the same mercy that God would extend to them. And we also have to be careful because, notice, God judges us as with the same in the same way that we judge others. And if we're critical or harsh towards others, be careful. We might have that same harsh judgment from God coming back to us. Paul said, "Beloved, do not avenge yourself, but rather give place to wrath, as it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." Okay, lesson number 5, last one. Receive your reward by treating others as you would like to be treated. Verse 17, "And then he said to David, 'You are more righteous than I, for you have rewarded me with good, whereas I have rewarded you with evil. And you have shown this day how you have dealt with me. For when the Lord delivered me into your hands, you did not kill me.'" He even goes on to say there about the reward on down through that he's rewarded you this day. Listen, if we respond to evil in love, and we respond with the spirit rather than the flesh of our enemies around us, if we continue to seek reconciliation with those who consider us their enemies, if we relinquish the judgment, maybe the harshness that we treat others with, that the Bible says that we will be rewarded. Sometimes that reward is here. I can't say that's always the case. You know, there's some people that you can continue to be nice to, that you can continue to seek reconciliation with, and you can continue to try to have a good relationship with them. But it takes two, doesn't it? It really takes two. If they're unwilling to kind of lower their guard a little bit and willing to, again, seek that reconciliation with you, you might just come up against a dead end. Well, that's okay, though. At least you've done your part, right? God can't hold it against your account, can he? It's not that you've done something wrong, but that you've done something right. And the grudge that we carry, it'd be gone, right? That hurt is gone because we've done our part to seek reconciliation, to seek to do the right thing. And we're not carrying some unneeded burden in our life. David didn't carry any burden against Saul. He was free from that. Listen, some of the heaviest things you can carry in life are a burden of grudge, those feelings of anger and hurt. And they can really weight you down. Somebody said, holding a grudge is like holding onto an anchor and then jumping into the ocean. Because if you don't let go, eventually it will kill you. Just the stress of it, I think. Being a Christian means letting go, forgiving others, treating others even as Christ has treated us. We're to love others, to love our enemies, Jesus said. To love those who hate you, and to pray for those who persecute you. Let me ask you again, do you have any enemies in your life? Do you have enemies in your life? God has called you to forgive them, even as Christ has forgiven you. Do you have enemies in your life? Seek reconciliation. I don't care if it's in your family or in this church family. It's time to reconcile. Jesus said, if you expect me to forgive you, then you must be willing to forgive others. How can we expect that of God, to forgive us of our sin, if we're unwilling to forgive others of their sin? We have to forgive. Let's pray our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you again for your scripture. Lord, thank you for your story. And Lord, your servant, King David, he is truly a servant that is after your heart, because, Lord, we see it right here in this moment. The true character of David comes out, not how he loves his friends, but, Lord, how he loves his enemies. Lord, I pray, too, that's the true test of our character as well, not how we're treating those around us who treat us well. Lord, we know it's easy to treat those around us good who treat us good. But, Lord, how are we treating those around us that treat us bad? How are we treating those around us that hurt us, that, Lord, are sinful towards us? Lord, that's the true test of character that you desire within us. Help us to respond, I pray, in the right way, and to hear your words here this morning. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, let's stand now and gather in our closing hymn here, page 335, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. And I think it's pretty short, so we might sing it just through twice. Let me see if I'm right about that. How do I always get... Yep, I'm right. It's a short one. We'll sing it through twice. So let's stand together and sing. Listen, friends, it's not easy sometimes to let loose of some of these grudges. Sometimes it's quite difficult. Sometimes people have hurt us so badly that we find it extremely difficult to come to a place of offering that person forgiveness. Maybe they hadn't tried to kill us, but maybe it has felt that way. These things can be tough. They can be difficult. And we need God's help to bring our heart to a place like David's, where we're willing to forgive those who have hurt us so bad. But we can do it. We can get to that place. We can arrive at that place where we're ready to forgive those in our life who have truly hurt us. I encourage you to do that today. If you've come this morning and you're carrying a grudge against someone else, if it's in this church, or if it's in your family, or if it's in your workplace, maybe it's a generational grudge, you don't even know why you hate them anymore, you just do, it's time to lay it on the altar before God. God wants you free of that burden in your life. He wants that weight lifted off of you. He wants to put joy in your heart and not have feelings of anger towards others. I pray that you find that for yourself. God wants you to find it. He wants you to have that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the burden that you seek to take from our life, even that burden that we wear of sometimes of hurt that others have done towards us. And Lord, even the sin that we've done towards others as well. Lord, we just repent of that wrong in our life, and we seek now the healing that comes only from you. Lord, have us to love all people, even those that have made themselves our enemy. Lord, allow us to treat all people the same. And Lord, allow us, I pray, to be forgiven of our sin and, Lord, made anew in your Son Jesus, with a new heart, a tender heart, that seeks to love as you have loved us. Love thine enemies. Lord, we need your help to do that, though. Help us, I pray. Bless us this week. Be with us. Continue to encourage us in our Christian faith. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.